Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Our text scripture has been out of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. This is God's Word translation. Faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. And then another one we've said is faith is being confident of what we expect, being convinced of what we don't see. You say, well, you know, Al, why are we even talking about faith? Because it's kind of important, like real important, like this is how we live this life. And the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to what? To please God. And so wanting to please God, we want to be able to do that. So our faith is important. I've heard people say, well, faith was a movement. No, faith's been around a long time before a movement started. It was emphasized, I would say, in the 70s and 80s and maybe in the 90s. But you don't throw away something that God emphasizes and just toss it aside. You build on it. And so for a lot of times, and just in talking with people, a good question is, how's your faith? This is what Paul was asking to the church at Thessalonica. He'd started this church, he'd founded it, he had to leave, and he was concerned about their faith. And so he sent Timothy to check and see how their faith was doing. Now it's interesting, he didn't send Timothy to see if all their problems were being solved and if everybody was okay. He said, I want to see how your faith is doing. He was concerned. And we read that in 1 Timothy about three times. He keeps mentioning your faith, your faith, your faith. And so it really is important. And in fact, he says, it's by faith that you stand firm. So we talked about that last week. He was concerned about their faith. Timothy was sent to determine their faith. And that faith is visible. We discussed that last week. Faith is visible. So in other words, when Timothy showed up, he could observe, he could be around them, and after a while you can pick up on whether or not someone has faith or not. You just watch what they do, and then you listen to how they talk. And so remember Jesus said when he saw that man that was let down, they made a hole in the roof and let a paralyzed man down in front of him, and the Bible said, and Jesus saw their faith. So he saw the guys letting him down and the one who was paralyzed, and the guy got healed. And so there's that, and when the centurion came to Jesus and said, Lord, my servant is sick. Would you come heal him? And Jesus said, yeah, I'll come heal him. And the centurion said, nope, you don't even have to come. All you have to do is say the word, and my servant will be healed. And after he said that, Jesus turned around, looked at everyone and said, I hadn't found faith like this in all of Israel. And that was a Roman centurion. And so having faith is not a Jewish thing. Having faith is not a thing where, well, you know, it's kind of like people say, well, you know, grandma had faith. You know, I don't have any faith. This is not like a fixed asset. This is something that we can grow in. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. We talked, and I wanted to just kind of go over again, how did the Thessalonian church get faith? And the bottom line was they heard a message. So let's take a look at that again. 1 Thessalonians, Paul is writing, said, for you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi. Remember Philippi, that's where Paul was, where they tore his clothes off of him and Silas and beat them with rods and then threw them into a prison. And then in prison, they were praising and worshiping God, and God sent an earthquake, cut everybody free, but they still got beat. So he said, we were spitefully treated. That's a good word for it. As you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you. Now, he's using this phrase, the gospel of God, in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. But as we've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, that's good news, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, you see that phrase again, but also our own lives because you had become dear to us. You remember, brethren, our labor and toil for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God. So he keeps talking about that we preach the gospel. The gospel simply means good news. So he's saying, Paul said, we begin to preach the gospel. These people were not coming from denominational churches. These people were coming from heathen backgrounds. They were worshiping idols, if they worship anything at all. And so there were idols in the area. And in Thessalonica, there were idols. Everyone had their own idols. And so they preached the gospel. And there were people who heard that and went, I believe that. And they responded to that. And so these were people who were coming just out of a completely pagan environment, responding to the gospel. They were getting saved, but now Paul had to leave, but now he wants to know how they're doing. How are you doing? It's a young church. These are young believers. And so he said, I'm going to send Timothy. And Timothy brought back, he said, we were comforted because Timothy brought back good news of your faith and of your love. And so for Paul, checking on an early church, their faith was important. And really, if you think about it, if I was talking to you, a good question is, I'm not going to do that. How's your faith? I was happened to be at the doctor's office today, and it's kind of a mixed blessing when one of the nurses goes, hey, Pastor Allen. Especially if it's the doctor that gives you the colonoscopy. I looked at her, I said, your lips are sealed. There. But she came by, she said, did you come to test our faith? And she said, the doctor will test your faith. I went, no kidding. But the idea is, that's a good question. How's your faith doing? And so checking on someone's faith, seeing how their faith is doing, is something that Paul was interested about. Now, the people received the message, but I want you to see how they received it. Excuse me. For this reason, we also, he's still talking to the Thessalonians, we thank God without ceasing because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. But I wanted you to catch that phrase, you received it as the word of God. It's not man's word, it's God's word. And how we receive God's word makes all the difference in the world. Now we're going to do something a little different tonight. But I want you to see a group of people who are excited to see God's word. Would you run that video?
Darana nyundi yubuda abna gigip memero. Dara memero kum. Pok yok nang na nyundi gerenche omulat lam siyang wene na. Memero puku wene na ot kemi lama. Do wene ane si ane yak lem la buka nyun babi elu lama. Pok memero kum ni omulat lam siyang wene na. Omwi nyun babi ket se po. Seni lima po. Sumni ni wene na nyundi yubu nisin. Mati yut sampe wahyu. Gigip dangkal wene na. Wala yok simna.
You're not going to be able to do it. let no have it.
Yang upni juga nana, nana emiung kiblam nuna boga, naya kumpul neri masyarakat, emiung mampu nisinap, nisin emiung se yang ulam upni, nabe yang ulam neyung, neri ikilne kikip lawa biu pertanyaan lama apa resengena, dan yang lam nung nene kene kikip besarok pesingding kayo.
Ane meyong dun abut na ane tatsiwa nuningi yang upsi nundi alkitab atau wapti ambusin ba nundi ubra ayto ubite meyong di yularop nundi sinan nundi ubra ayto nundi na ngiang kanga di topa.
Siga ane soni mi na meyong di ubu gimya di ubra ayto memero ba anke nundi sari do ubite wenena nundi mabo mok mabo depsi pa tinun na malro yungu ko sumakro ko wenena nundi ubra ayto nene ke salba ayto. Tinun di mabak lo siapa? Sik tina sik telim sik mabak anege. Om bata balam sik ba. Sik apa nuna apa nason? Ima sa kwingu ap sambia sik ba penginyaus.
Ep nak telim na. Sum nena. Emi yung nane yung apa? Iplam na. Ano si? Di mande ya yun nene ke lak dek niya si? Di mande ya nene ke na? Wene yako debla ako di man di yan na bilya la ako buka sampay pukuplak na orum nila.
I just found that very touching, watching them just, you know, we have Bibles laying around all over the place. And these people, they were so excited. You know, you think you guys are whoo, they were whoo-whoo people. These people were. It's interesting in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, verse 5, it said that when Ezra, the scribe, stood up to read the scriptures, everyone stood up. So I'm going to have you stand just for a moment. And Romans said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Thank you. You can be seated. Now, I'm not starting a new habit, but I think it's good every now and then to shake things up because I think it's so easy for us to take God's word for granted. Amen. And how valuable it is and how precious it is and how it is and how they received it and how they received it as God's word. And this is what I'm with Thessalonians. These were people coming out of darkness, and they heard the truth and light. And I was just thinking about some of these people. And you say, well, you know, Alan, that's a primitive tribe. I wouldn't be quick to judge. You might be living next to one of them when you hit heaven. But I think you could see where their hearts were so appreciative. And they worship the same God we do. And our God's bigger than Texas. You do know that, don't you? And so just... that verse in Romans, it said, it's the power of God to those who believe. That's why we preach the gospel. Some people can scoff at it. Some people can laugh at it. But the people who believe it, it becomes the power of God to salvation in their lives. And so I don't know about you, but I am so grateful that someone shared the gospel with me at a young age, and I heard it at a young age, and later on I responded. And so it was the power of God to absolutely change my life. And so this is what we're saying. And so every now and then, I think sometimes we just need to shake ourselves and go, this isn't just an ordinary book. This is a timeless book. It's God's word, and it's the power of God to those who believe it. It was the power of God for healing in my wife when she was so deathly sick because we believed. Some people say, well, I believe all that stuff passed away. Then you don't need to worry about it. It won't come your way. It's the power of God to those who believe it. And that's just the way it works. So how they received it, how they respond, and how we respond is God's words are seeds of faith. They plant seeds of faith in us. Mark, the fourth chapter, this is Jesus talking. He said, the sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. The God's word Jesus was talking about, and he said, God's word are seeds. Now, that first passage always used to bother me, because it's like, well, wait a minute. I'm hearing God's word. How can Satan just come in and steal it? And Jesus gave, remember, four types of ground. He said, the sower sows the word, and some of it fell on the wayside ground. In other words, said on hard, it was like the trail. But the key was, it was never received. If you never receive it, then it's able to be stolen. I was thinking about that this afternoon, and immediately this thought came to me. Have you ever had Amazon deliver packages on your front porch? You know, you don't leave them out there for a few days. Unless you live in a real nice neighborhood. I mean, it's just, you don't want to leave them out there. You have to bring those packages into the house for them to do you any good, or they could be stolen. Yeah. Same thing with God's word. You can hear God's word, and you have to go, I'll receive that, I'll take that, or the enemy has an opportunity to steal it from you. It has to be received. That was the key with the second group. It said the second group, those who were on the thorny ground, they received the word with joy. In other words, they heard it and went, oh, that's great. That's good news. And so how you receive it makes a key. Now, this is something I think that it sometimes can move past us if we're not careful. Sometimes we can just read God's word. We can hear God's word. We can hear a message. We can go, yeah, good. Or we can hear it and go, I'm going to believe that. Lord, I thank you for it. You know, Paul said something in Philippians 4:4. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I've heard people say, well, yeah, Alan, I don't know what I can rejoice about because I've got all this stuff going on and things going on. I'm not making fun of them, but the Bible said rejoice in the Lord always. But when we begin to realize what God has done for us in Christ, there is actually always something for us to rejoice about. What we have to do is we just have to stir ourselves up to do it. I mean, we've said it so much around here, we all take it for granted. If anyone is in Christ, he is a... Do you realize you were not made with any kind of spiritual birth defects at all? You are a new creation. You were made in the image of God. The life and nature of God is in your spirit. You are a new creation. That ought to make us go, yes, thank you. And not only that, in Ephesians it says that he has made us accepted in the beloved, accepted in Christ. That word accepted means we are highly favored in Christ. If you are in Christ, you have a position of favor with God. You're one of his favorites.
Yes.
You could have wooed that one a lot better than you did. You're blessed in him. Favored in him, forgiven in him, a new creation in him, redeemed from the curse of the law in him. You were made the head and not the tail and above and not beneath. Listen, there's a lot of great things that Jesus has done for us. And I remember I had a teacher in Bible school who used to say something. I didn't get it until recently. He said, he told us one day, we're students. He said, you ought to get excited, guys. He said, when you get excited about God's words, when it works for you. I thought, okay, that makes sense. Because if I'm excited about it, that means I believed it. And I received it with joy, not as man's word, not as some philosophy, not as something out there. I received it as God's word to me. And if it's God's word to me, in fact, this is why we can rejoice all the time. So I don't have a lot to rejoice about. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. If you're saved, you got a whole lot to rejoice about.
Yes, amen.
If you know where you're going, you lay down your head tonight, you don't make it out, and you die, you know where you're going. That's something to rejoice about.
Amen.
The fact if you've been forgiven, that is something to rejoice about. Now, here's the thing. It's easier to do it in here when I'm preaching to you. The challenge is Thursday morning on the way to work. And you're thinking about the people you got to deal with and the things you got to deal with today. That's when it's harder to rejoice, but that's when you need to do it the most.
Yes.
Lord, thank you that you're with me. Now, rejoicing, really, if you think about it, rejoicing is when the people received it. Jesus said they received it with joy. That means they believed it. You say, well, why didn't they produce any fruit? Well, they didn't hang on to it. Persecution came. Pressure came. They abandoned it. And so we don't have to abandon it. Thank God we can hang on to it. But they believed it, and that caused joy to come. And so when we believe something, I had a friend, he's a friend of this ministry. He called me a few years ago. He called me, and we were doing the building thing. He said, Alan, how are you doing on the building thing? I said, well, we're doing pretty good. And I said, remember, we were building that children's wing during the pandemic. And that's the only reason the pandemic blessed us, because we hit so many delays. It actually worked. But we were running some behind. And he said, well, we're going to send you $250,000. And I knew him. I knew he could do that. So what did I do? Thanks. Yeah. That's about right. Yeah. I'm hooing on that one, guys. I'm happy before I ever saw it hit the bank, because I believed his word.
Amen.
You catch that? Now, if I'd have said, well, I'll tell you what, when I see it, I'll give you thanks for it. How's that? He may not have sent it, but he's a good man. And I thanked him profusely before I ever saw it, because I believed that he was good for his word. Really, what I just exercised was faith. It was faith in him, faith that he would keep his word. Well, if we can have faith in some man to keep his word, how much more can we have faith in God to keep his word? And so here's the key. One of the simplest things, if you're saying, well, you know, Alan, how can I get stronger in faith? I think Thanksgiving is one of the best ways to get stronger in faith, is where you see something in the scriptures and you just thank God for it before you ever see it in your life. You can see where, and so let's talk about that just for a little bit before we wrap it. Faith in God is faith in his word. I'm going to jump on. We can have faith. Okay, let's go ahead and put that up. I don't want to skip that, because faith in God is faith in his word. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's how faith comes. We need to always remind ourselves. You're saying, well, I don't have faith in an area. Now, here's something you can learn. You can get stronger in different aspects of your faith. So, you know, there's some people that are real strong. They have faith that God will provide for them and supply and give them favor and bless their business. They have faith in that area. Some people have faith that God will forgive them if they mess up. Some people have faith that God will heal them. We say, but how do you get there? So you don't just try to grab it out of the air. You don't pray for it. You go to the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by his word. So how about this one? How about faith to live free from fear? You know, if the stronger we get in our faith in God, the more fear begins to, our ability to kick fear to the curb is reduced.
Yes, amen.
We live in a fear-filled world. We live in a dark world. We live with there's fear present everywhere, and if you're it's easy to yield to it as opposed to resist it. But if you know that it's not God's will for you to live in fear, then when fear starts to come, you can begin to resist it and resist the thoughts. This is, I really believe, is one of the keys, and I'm convinced of it. I believe God's word and believing God's word is one of the best remedies for mental health issues that we deal with. I believe there's answers. If someone looks at you and goes, you're hopeless, you're just going to be this way, it's going to be that way for the rest of your life, and don't buy it. Just don't be a buyer. Just say, well, I appreciate what you're saying, but God's got something else to say. John 14, 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, do I give. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Woo. Let not your heart be troubled. So this is Jesus telling me, I don't have to let my heart be troubled. You say, well, Alan, you don't realize, and I didn't write that. But here's what I do know. We've developed patterns in our thinking and patterns in our believing that we have to upend and replace. And so if you grow up, I grew up in a family where there was a lot. My dad wasn't a worrier. My mother was, and she passed that wonderful trait on to me. And some of you have come from a long line of worriers, champion worriers, and you're well versed in that skill. And so what happens is, if you're in that pattern, then it's going to take something. You're going to have to go, God, I've been a worrier all my life. I don't want to be a worrier. You said in Philippians to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let my request be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding would guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Now, that's something you have to put into practice. In other words, one, you need to know God doesn't want me to be afraid. God doesn't want me to be anxious. Amen. And then there's something I can do about it.
Amen.
So I'm going to find out what God says about it. And then that gives me the ability that when fear begins to come, I can at least begin to push back on it. So you're saying, Alan, you're just completely fearless and everything. No, I'm saying I have to deal with it just like you do. But as I get stronger in my faith, my ability to push back on fear gets stronger. So don't get discouraged if you go out tomorrow and you try this and it doesn't work. It does work. You're just going to have to stay with it and work it. Don't throw it away. So hang on to it and go, Lord, thank you that I can live free from fear. Thank you, I can live free from fear. When I met Joy, she was absolutely plagued by fear. When we married, she used to keep the lights on. She used to sleep with a Bible in her bed and all the lights on. Now, this is when we met. And I remember when we get married, I'm like, I need you to cut the light off, and we need to get the Bible out of the bed. Now, here's what Joy thought. She thought when she married big, burly me that it would be the end of her fears. It was not. But what's happened is over the years, as she's continued to have a relationship with the Lord, as she's continued, then what's happened is she doesn't have to sleep with the lights on. In fact, she has slept through two hurricanes. Slept straight through them. I'm the one up going, she's out. But that didn't happen overnight. That happened when you commit to it and go, I'm going to stay with God's word. Peter said something that was so brilliant. Jesus, remember Jesus said one time he had that famous eat my flesh, drink my blood sermon? He preached a sermon in John. He said, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. He was talking about partaking of him and his sacrifice. They thought it was cannibalism. And a whole lot of people left.
Yeah.
And Jesus, you got to love Jesus. He looked at his disciples, go, y'all leaving too? And Peter had one of the best answers I've ever heard. He said, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? You're going to go back to drugs. You're going to go back to alcohol. You're going to go back to partying. You're going to go back to a life that doesn't work. This is the life that works. If you'll stay with it, this is what works. It's a great answer. So just when you think, nah, I'm going to give this up, where are you going to go? Where are you going? Listen, if you'll stay with this, and if you'll begin to do, and you can begin to grow in this and begin to develop in this, you have to find scriptures. You got to read your Bible. You need to, it's good to memorize scriptures. You say, well, you know, that's a little strange. If you want to get free, you have to be willing to look strange to people who are living in darkness. And I don't, thank you. I don't mean that unkind. But it's like, why are we getting approval from people who are more messed up than we are? Amen. So at some point in time, you've got to go, hey, no, this is working for me. This is helping me. This is God's word. This is good. And here's the deal. And it's available to you. Amen. All you got to do is receive it. So we'll talk a little bit more about that in next week. And we got night of worship coming soon with the knife. Yeah. Yeah, really. Don't y'all, where are you people on Sunday morning? I don't hear y'all. It's like, oh no, we're Wednesday night woo-woo people. Okay. Hey, let's pray and then we'll close up. You bow your heads with me. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you. It's your word to us, the word of the living God. And thank you, Father, we receive it as such. Thank you. Your word concerning who we are, your word concerning your love for us, your word concerning the peace in our life and the joy that we have available to us, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word. Thank you. Father, I pray for those here tonight, those who are watching online. Lord, thank you that they can stir up in their hearts again, or maybe for the very first time, the reality of you and your word and the power behind it to those who believe, and we believe. Heads are bowed, knives are closed. If you came this evening or you're watching online, you just say, you know what, I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord, or I did it one time and I really walked away from him, but man, I want to come back. Well, we're going to say a prayer. We're not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front. But sitting in your chair right where you are, this prayer is for you. Heads are bowed, knives are closed. I am going to ask you to do one thing. If that's you that I'm talking to and you're saying, you know what, I need a relationship with the Lord. I need to come back to him. Would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up real quick across this auditorium? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. Anybody else? Yeah, got you. Thanks. Thank you for your courage. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand in 1 to 2, you can still pray this prayer with us. It's a heart prayer. We're going to pray with you. It's a church family. If you're online, you're by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with other people, pray it quietly. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Thank you, Father, for those who prayed that prayer. For those who've come in and those who've come back, we rejoice with them and thank you for all the good things you have for them. Lord, we love you and give you all the praise for what you have done for us. It's a marvelous thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.